Welcome to Starfield Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm an SLB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have talkcasts every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions, and the call ID is 17702. Are going to participate on the web, just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. Or you can meet me on my Twitch channel, which is SFU On Call. Just search for that on twitch.tv, and you will find me there. I will start broadcasting somewhere around 9:30. And, of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Twitter, my account on Twitter is sfuoncall. Also, I have a personal account called Paul Franz. That's twitter.com/PaulFranz. PaulFranz. And, of course, I have my business account, which is Franz Games. FranzGmes. Of course, this lovely talkcast gets turned up podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week, and I do mean really quick, because, one, Steve Cole is on vacation. He went to Hawaii with his wife of many, many, many years. Don't ask me how many years, because I don't remember. But one time I could say, but not today. Steve Petrico, of course, was busy in the holding down the home front, working on SFB updates and the Thalian Master Starship book. Jean was also holding down the fort, and she managed the Facebook page, also uploading things up the Shapeways and managing that. And, of course, making sure that there was no spam on the BBS. Make sure, keep it nice and clean and friendly and not get overrun by spam. We all know how that is. Our boards don't keep up and they just get overrun. When it comes on to SFB Online tournaments, we have, of course, Sapphire Star Tournament number 2. We are now accepting signups for that tournament. Sign up as soon as possible, because the first 16 in, they get in, and that's it. At that point, you are considered an alternate, and you can get in if to that tournament, if and only if someone drops out or disappears, which means they drop out and they forfeit their $10 entrance fee. Moving onward and forward to the library report, I'm sorry to say that nothing has been done this week. But current completed conversions stand at 2,519, yet to be converted is 811, and percent complete is 75.65%, not 700%. That would have been interesting. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, the only Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we have Barry.
Hey, how are you doing? Hey there, how are you doing?
Doing good.
So tonight, I guess we're discussing the L'Oreal.
Yes, we are.
Tournament cruiser. L'Oreal is a dancer ship. It's direct fire. It's turn mode A. Three-quarter movement, so it's a very small, thin ship that's highly maneuverable, but it has extra thick shields, and it has some slightly different weapons. Everything's completely direct fire. It's a magical race, so they use magical fireballs.
Understood. It's kind of, that was an interesting thing when I was reading the rules, which it says it's magical, meaning that the only people who actually understand how the technology works are the L'Oreal.
Right.
L'Oreal.
Yeah.
Had a double, right. I just remembered how it was actually put in the rule book. They actually put the pronunciation of the Empire in the rule book. It's L'Oreal.
Yeah. Right. And in appearance and effect, they resemble the fireballs. In appearance and effect, they resemble huge balls of flame. Although how they can pass unaffected through space is a complete mystery.
Understood.
Yeah. So the fireballs, it has six of them. Four front half, which is really good arc, and then one LS and one RS. And it's a two-turn arming weapon, 1 point of power per turn. It can come from any source. They cannot be held, but can be maintained in a ready-to-fire state by rolling delay.
Right.
So basically, yeah. They don't do much damage.
Did you see, I read the note on the chart about damage from 20, range 20 to 30, which is, I thought was kind of funny. Which is just,
yeah,
it reminds people that range 20 to 30 firewalls can do zero damage. So it can hit you and do zero damage.
It is a possibility.
Yep.
And you roll to hit and then you roll a... And then you roll to see how much damage it does.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two variables in there. And that kind of goes with the D&D fireball, which did so many D6 of damage.
Yeah, that's, again, that was another thing that I noticed, which was, it's random, it's D6. On the amount of damage, D6 plus 3, D6 plus 2, you know, that is interesting.
Yeah. So basically the damage falls off. And to tell you the truth, D6 plus 3 versus D6 minus 1, it's not like it does double damage.
Right.
Right. But so from range 0 to range 30, it falls off a little, but not too badly. What falls off is the... hit numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But for a two-turn arming weapon with 1 point of power per turn to arm, and remember, that's 6 points of power for two turns to get them all armed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're not probably going to be able to hit with all of them, but you could probably hit with five of them.
Yeah.
So it might be able to do a decent amount of damage. But they also can be overloaded.
Right.
And
the overload is an enveloping overload.
Right. And it requires 3 points of power on the second turn of army instead of 1 point.
And
they can't be...
And they have to be done via energy allocation.
Reserve power.
Yeah, you can't do it in reserve power at all, which is interesting.
Right. Right. The standard damage is scored, but in addition to this, the target ship takes 1 point of damage on all six shields, including the facing shield, which is cumulative with the original damage. So basically, if it hits, it does 6 points of damage, one point of damage to every single shield. Mm-hmm. In addition to its normal, which is an enveloper, but it's not overpowered.
Yeah.
But boy, does it cost to use that.
Oh, yeah. And the funny part to me was the general reinforcement. In that, with the general reinforcement for the fireball, one thing that has to occur is that first you take the direct damage and remove that from the general reinforcement. Then you can use general reinforcement to protect the overall damage, the enveloping damage.
Right. So if you've got a ship that has a down shield or two, that enveloper can't be stopped with the general.
Exactly. Exactly. That to me.
But then again, an enveloping plasma S is going to hit hard on a. Down shield, and a Hellbore is certainly going to hit hard on a down shield.
Right.
So, this is not going to do that much damage.
Right.
Because that ship does not have enough energy or power to overload them all. I mean, let's say you want to overload five of them. That's 15 points of power. That ship just doesn't have it.
Oh, agreed. And it is, I'm showing is the actual warp damage. The standard fire cruiser versus the tournament. The standard fire cruiser has only 20 points of power, only has five fireballs too, and they're front half and then left side, right side. With the tournament, you said there's six. Where did you add the extra one?
The regular ship has A, B, and C up front for front half.
Correct.
I created A, B, C, and D for front half.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know is what was the arc of the additional one?
Yeah.
Because in theory, you put it in the rear half and said, okay, they can protect itself going backwards.
I just made the three-box launcher a four-box launcher.
Right. And I know the shields are a little bigger. They're 733, they're 36.
Right. And hang on a second. So why is this?
In the Tremor Cruiser, you've got four batteries instead of the three that I'm currently showing to everyone who's on the video. I was reading a little bit about the history of the L'Oreal, and that is that when it comes to originally, they didn't have phasers. But later on, they decided, this was a good idea to add them.
Yeah.
And the whole history of the L'Oreal actually is kind of interesting because I read through the quick excerpts of they consider themselves the protector of the Omega sector. They're not as the protectors as I think the ISC think they are in the Alpha Octant.
Well, that and they also, they were not the ISC. They were not aggressive that way.
Right.
And also they were only aggressive against the Soldra.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And their weapons are designed really to take on the Soldra, because the Soldra have shields where you're not going to be putting shield boxes on every facing. Well, if somebody's got an enveloper, kind of keeps the Soldra honest.
Agreed. And as I pointed out, general reinforcement doesn't do squat. You can't use general reinforcement to protect yourself in the enveloping case.
Right. Now the overloads cannot be held.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is, in my mind, that's fine. And the enveloper only does one point of damage per shield. Correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So let's say you were firing at a range where, let's say you're at range 7, for example,
mm-hmm.
where you're doing 1d6 plus 2.
Right.
Okay, and you hit on a 1 through 4, which is not that great.
Yeah, not that bad either.
Not that bad.
It's not like it's 50% to hit. I agree, it's no Klingon with a UIM, but...
Right.
Well,
right.
Four is
but
not
you're,
bad.
You're doing 1d6 is average of 3.5 plus 2 is an average of 5.5. 5.5, it's a little bit better than a photon, but not as good as a disruptor.
Right.
It's in that range.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, that's a two-turn arming weapon that you only could put in 2 points of power. Now,
right.
If you put in total of 4 power, the same as an overloaded disruptor, then you get a guaranteed extra 6 points of damage, mm-hmm. plus 1 point per shield.
Right.
So that two extra power is 6 extra damage. 3 to 1. That's actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It being that cheap, one point of power per turn makes it quite cheap and very reasonable to actually to charge. You know, of course, at the same time, it's 3/4 movement ship, and only has for the tournament it has 24, versus the normal ship it only has 20.
Right, but it has 5 impulse and 6 ATR.
Right.
So it's got a bit of power. Now, the flame shields are an interesting weapon.
Definitely.
And it's not really a weapon. So the flame shield requires up to 4 points of energy, each of which operates the field for 4 impulses. So you can turn it on, and then it's up for a maximum of 16 impulses.
Yep.
And once it's activated, you can't add any more energy. And it's the activation to be activated in any impulse during the final function stage of impulse activity.
Right before energy, right before ED.
Right. It takes effect instantly.
Right.
And they can be deactivated either by exceeding their activation time or by voluntary deactivation. And it has energy backlash. The flame shield causes a backlash of flame which damages any ship or other unit that attempts to hit the L'Oreal vessel with a direct fire weapon.
That includes plasma bolting plasma,
Yes. And to determine the damage caused to the firing unit, divide the damage done to the protected shield facing the ship by 4 round fractions of 0.5 or more up and under 0.5 or less. Resulting damage is applied to the facing shield of the firing unit or resolved as internals. So basically, you hit it, it hits you back for 1/4.
Right.
Backlash is automatic and unerring. It is not affected by EW. The backlash damage is treated as a separate volley. And it does not reduce the damage done to the ship.
Right.
So if you hit me with an overloaded photon, you do 16, I hit you back for 4.
Yep.
And if you were within feedback range and you said back 4, and then I hit you for another 4
right.
from my flame shield.
Right. And the one thing to keep in mind is that the feedback damage does not additive when it comes to the flame back damage.
Right. Yeah, if you have 2 flame shields up, you only get hit by 1. Yeah. Do not affect tractors, transporters, ESGs. They don't harm ESGs. No. I don't.
The one thing that is difficult, and that is, because there's 2 things that are of note. Number one, when you actually start activate your flame shield, you do not have to announce how much energy you've put into the flame shield. So they don't know how long that's going to last. That's number one.
Right.
Number two, and this is the dastardly deed itself, and that is for each point of energy, i.e., each point of energy, you get 4 impulses. of flame. But for each point of energy, for each point, you have to wait 32 impulses before you can use it again.
Yes.
So you only put one point of energy. Well, and the thing is also, you don't have to. If you put 4 points of energy into your shield, flame shield, you do not have to use all 4 points of energy, but you lose the additional energy. But the, obviously the benefit.
You use it. I think you use it all.
Right.
Oh, wait. Energy in a flame shield can be held at no energy cost, but must be used within a period of 96 consecutive impulses.
Right.
Energy added in the energy. Okay.
But when you use it, any energy in it's lost. But you don't have to, if you put 4 points of power, have it, you know, that much energy into your flame shield, you do not have to use all 4 points when you release the flame. Flame shield. You can have it so it only uses 1 point. So it only lasts for 4 impulses, which is good because at that point, you can actually get back your flame shield in 32 impulses. Versus if you release all 4 points, you can't use it for another 4 turns.
Right. And at point any,
So it, in that case, it, you...
That's a long time.
That's a long time. And that, and that's why... In some cases, you might want to actually have additional energy, but not use it. Because if you can guarantee that your opponent is going to fire at you, basically unload with most of his weapons, in that first 4 impulses that you release the fire shield, then you can say, okay, I'm only going to do 1 point so you can have it back next turn. Yes, you've just wasted 3 points of energy, but you'll have the flame shield back, which is, in my mind, more important. Because and during that cooldown period, you cannot put any energy into that flame shield.
Yeah. Now, the ship has 3 flame shields, and each one covers a 180-degree arc. So flame shield number 1 covers the 1, 6, and 5 shields.
Mm-hmm.
Flame shield number 2 covers the 1, 2, and 3 shields.
Mm-hmm.
And flame shield number 3 covers the 3, 4, and 5 shields.
Right.
So,
that's weird.
You have enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so here.
I know.
Here, and then here. So,
yeah.
You have an overlap on shield number 1, and you have an overlap in shield number 3 and 5.
Five. Right.
Hmm.
Well, that allows you to pass the torch on.
Right.
RR. But you just got it.
Yeah.
That's why I said RR.
I understood, Mr. Pirate.
So, now one other thing that's interesting is the ship only has a damage control rating of 2.
Yeah. Yikes.
And a scanner, and the first scanner box, it actually does reduce capabilities.
Yep. The sensors is decently well. So, it's three boxes.
Yeah. Right, which means that'll never happen. But scanner could potentially have that ship lose a little bit from the scanner.
Okay, the one thing that
it has a hard time repairing anything.
See if
it can't repair much.
Oops. Wrong. That's right, rule book. Okay, that's the one. Okay. And it doesn't have any. Let me just double. I'm pretty sure I don't see. Remember seeing that? Which is any FSPs? Okay. No, I don't. Okay.
What?
FSPs.
What are you looking for?
Flame shield projectors. They're mainly used for L'Oreal escorts.
Oh.
I wanted to make sure that there wasn't
Is that
any.
something?
What?
No, I didn't even know about them. I've never heard of that. Is that something that was in one of the captain's logs?
No, that's in the rule book. That's rule number zero G, sorry, OG 7.0, flame shield projectors. The reason I found it was because basically I was looking for L'Oreal through my rule book to see what is the actual OG 7.0. It says the L'Oreal escorts use flame shield projectors to set up a flame shield defense on nearby flying ships. The device literally projects a shield onto a target unit where it operates for a few impulses, then collapses. So I assume that the L'Oreal produced it in concert with the development of their first fighters and carriers, which makes sense. I just want to make sure that was not there. Now, obviously, it only would be of any use when it comes to a tournament cruiser if the tournament cruiser had fighters, or obviously, in theory, it could use it for shuttles, because shuttles are size class 5, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Drones are size class 6.
No.
7?
Shuttles are 6 and drones are 7.
Oh, okay. Okay, so
fighters are. So I guess it could be used to protect pseudo fighters.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes more sense.
Right.
Protecting a fighter would be almost a waste.
Though at the same time, you know, then why would they mention that it was developed? Is using concert with development of their fighters and the carriers, unless it can protect their fighters. Because
I really hadn't looked at fighters for
right
L'Oreal.
Because ineligible units, only size class 5 or larger units can benefit from a projected flame shield. FPSs cannot be used on terrain object. The flame shield projectors can be used on other units other than L'Oreal units.
Size class 5 or larger, it says.
Yes.
Okay, so it can't be used on fighters.
Well, if fighters are size class 6, then why would they even try introduce this with development of fighters and carriers? Well, maybe for protecting the carriers.
Yeah. Now, here's an interesting thing. Shield cost is 1+1. Oh, wait. Never mind.
Smack.
That's standard.
Yes. Yeah. That's why I say smack. Now, the breakdown is 6, yeah. which is really good. Of course, as was pointed
now,
out.
Now, 5 and 6. No? Five.
No, 6.
5-6.
The fire cruiser.
Did I do that?
The normal fire cruiser has a breakdown of 6. Unless there was an addendum.
That's interesting. The Ken Burnside PDF has 5-6.
Okay.
The breakdown.
Hmm.
But I don't know. What does the one in the client say?
I did not check the client. Right now, I'm showing the one that's in the SSD. Let me see if I can bring that sucker up. And let's just go here and go authentication mode. Yeah, go for it. And then give me that. Tournament battle. Just give me a room. And bum, 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 bum. There it is. And let's go test. Start game. Okay. That's interesting.
What?
Did you colorize it at all?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Now, I'm looking at this. Okay, some of these things are purple, some of them in blue, some of them in black.
Yeah. Yeah, I was in my color phase. Like, oh, I can make it pretty.
Well, darn it. Sean, he's one who was
colorful. They're magical unicorns. Of course they're going to be colorful.
Okay, on the SSD itself, it doesn't state it. Now, let me just go to Expendables. Yeah, Expendables, it says it's 5.6.
Yeah, okay. That's probably a mistake because I copied off the Ken Burns side.
Yeah, and I
was... But you're saying that the SSD shows 6.
Right, not which the, makes Yeah, sense. Not the terminal SSD, but the actual Fire Cruiser SSD, yes.
Yeah, so that's a mistake. It should probably be changed to 6.
Yeah, I agree, especially given that the terminal of A... Now, I did not check to see if L'Oreal ships are considered nimble.
I don't think so.
Yeah, because if they did, obviously, then they have the same benefit as the Orion when it comes to double hit bonus.
Right.
Because that's one of the reasons why it can do what it does. Ah, there's bases. Okay, and of course, they have a magic ability to talk to each other within their own space. And instantaneous communication is, you know, in the collective. Okay. I do not see... I'm just looking. Okay. I do not see any mention that that all of them are nimble. And it's not mentioned, obviously it's not on the SSD either. So.
Right. Their destroyer is turn mode AA.
Wow.
Which, yeah. And their frigate is turn mode AA. Let's see. Oh, wait. Here it is in the master ship chart in the SSD book.
Uh-huh.
The frigate is nimble.
Okay, so just the frigate, which that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, AA turn mode, quarter movement cost. Yeah, it's going to be nimble.
Yep, and actually, I'm looking at the SSD itself. And the SSD itself, it marks it as nimble. For the frigate, that is.
Yeah. Yes, but it doesn't on the destroyer or the fire cruiser. So okay, so it's not nimble.
Mm-hmm.
It's maneuverable enough.
Understood. So the interesting part about this ship, obviously, you're not going to want to go in close against your opponents, though obviously you have stronger shields than your opponents overall.
And a flame shield.
Right, a flame shield. And the flame shield is good to have additional damage against your opponent, especially against the face and shield. Now, this is... the tough part about that, in my mind, is that... okay, you got a 1d6. Okay, let's say you get a range 3, or 3, 3, and 7. You got a 1d6 plus 2. That means you can do from 3 to 9 points of damage. Oh, sorry, 3 to 8 points of damage. Sorry. And you might be able to hit with Yeah, five, right?
It averages out to about 5.5 points of damage per
So
fireball
you
that
hit
hits.
for five to six fireballs. Depends.
Or you fire, say, five of them. Let's say, unless you've got a front center line.
Right, that's why I'm saying five or six.
Five.
So it's assume five.
Yeah, and with one to four, so maybe three of them hit.
Right.
That's about 15, 16 points of damage.
Right, which means...
Not that much.
Right, exactly, which means that you're not good... You're not going to get through the shield on the first time around. This produces a problem.
Correct.
What that means to me is at the very least, if you're going to have to put two flame shields up. Because of your opponent, you can only put the front flame shield up, or a front flame shield up. Then what's going to happen is that your opponent is going to wait for your battle pass to be basically completed because he doesn't have to worry about internals. So he can wait to hit a shield that in the rear quadrant that if you didn't turn on the flame shield for the rear quadrant, well, the rear half, basically, then you don't have to worry about it. So at the very least, on your first attack run, if you... obviously your opponent's going to want to fire his weapons on you. If he wants to, he doesn't even have to. Will he? Most probably.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to use at the very least two flame shields. And the question is, at that point, how long do you have the flame shields last? Because you have it's either going to be a one scenario use, or it's going to be your opponent's going to possibly try to wait out. Now, I would think that at the very least you'd probably want to put 2 points of power into your flame shields so that it would last for 8 impulses, which means that you could get at the very least the next range bracket, hopefully, because you should be able to...
Also understand that...
Yes.
This is about as close to a frax as you're going to find. Look at the firing arcs.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. Now, the frax is more. I was going to say side based like the Britannians, but the Britannians they're really side based. You remember the Britannians in the Module C4?
Yeah.
There's.
Yes.
Those were interesting. Hey, why not? It's training stuff.
But look at the phaser arcs. The phaser arcs are downright different.
Agreed.
So your primary offensive weapons are your PM1s, your microphasers.
Mm-hmm.
Because PQs, they're long range. They're a sniping weapon, but they're not that good at short range. And it's got two PQ1s, two PQ2s, four PQ3s, and the four PMs. But look at the PMs.
Right.
Left side, right rear, and right side, left rear. So that's a pretty wide arc.
That's a pretty strange arc.
It is, isn't it? Those PMs are basically out of shields 3, 4, and 5. They can fire all four PM1s.
Mm-hmm.
So their longer range weapons are good out the front shields, and the shorter range, heavier weapons are good out the rear shields for phasers.
Right.
So it's...
Yeah, the tough part about the PM1s, though, as you're pointing out, is the arcs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you got
well, the
basically
fact is,
you got two on the left side, you got two on the right side. That's what you've got
yeah.
when it comes to an offensive.
What?
Now, defensive, you've got some awesome arcs.
Yeah.
Because you got left side, right rear, and right side, left rear. So if someone tries to come up behind you, you've got a good bit of weaponry that can hit your opponent.
Yes, and PM1s I think are very power are a little more powerful than phaser ones at
Oh, agreed.
range.
Now, again, of course, the whole issue with phaser M's are da-da-da-da, they're to hit. So that means either they hit or they miss. All or nothing.
Yeah. Right.
Which is always the
But
issue
at the
with to
range.
hit weapons.
Yeah. But the range out to even range 12, they've got a 50-50 shot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the PQs are, well, they're a longer range weapon. And certainly the arcs are, there's no weapon on that ship that has less than a 180 degree arc. In fact, all the phasers have 180 degree arcs,
Right, the only thing that has only
except for
180
the
degree arc.
PM1s.
Yeah, the only thing that's it only is a 180 degree arcs are the fireballs.
So the PM1s actually have 270s. They added, left side, right rear, and right side, left rear. So they added another 60 degree. Well, not 270, sorry, 220, 240 rather. Yeah, they're 240, and everything else is 180. Your fireballs, of course, are all 180.
Agreed.
But it me, yeah.
So the yeah, I agree that your phaser M's are one of your most effective weapons because other hits
Other than the fireballs.
other than the fireballs. But obviously the
Yeah.
big issue is when it comes to the M1s, you don't have that many of them. And you have to get them center line to have them all, have all of them to hit.
No? Well, in the front, yes. But not in the rear.
Correct. But again, those are good for protection against your opponent
Right.
who's probably going to be chasing your butt down.
Yeah. Well,
But
it has those four phasers, those four PM1s, all hitting the entire rear arc.
That's an interesting idea, though.
So.
That definitely presents an interesting idea, which is to do an initial a battle pass,
Pass.
hold your PMs
Yeah. Right.
so that when because it's not if your opponent chase you
Yeah.
because there is your opponent will chase you. That's not a
Right.
question. Because when you turn off they're not going to turn off with what 15 points of damage on their and
No.
possibly only 10 points actually hits their shields. No, they're going to run down your butt. But when they run it down,
Right.
you'll still got a good you got your PM1s all available, and especially when you're running away, facing your opponent. So, now obviously, same time, you don't want to let your opponent get close where the PM1s actually are effective.
Right.
That's a catch 22 of that situation. And especially given that the flame shields in the rear, you don't have much overlap. They don't have overlap when it comes to shield number 4.
Right. But if you're in a stern chase, you're not going to be, what point, you don't use the flame shields because the opponent's just going to hold his fire until the flame shield goes down.
Right. Which is why, in my mind, you have to guarantee that to force your opponent to fire. Which means to me, that means to me that at the very least, you have to do it when you're running away.
Well, the other possibility is to go to range 2. And at range 2, think about this.
Oh, yeah.
The fireballs. Okay. So let's say you get 5 hits with fireballs, doing 6.5 each.
Right.
Average. Okay, so 5 times 6 points. That's about 30 points of damage on fireballs.
Right.
Not quite as much as disruptors, but you can make that range 2 firing pass with your flame shields up.
Right, and then, of course,
and you hit them.
And then with the M1s are guaranteed to hit at range 2.
Yes, and you still have your PQ1s and your PQ2s. Which are doing moderate phaser damage. And
right.
Your PQ3s are actually doing, it has 4 of them. And they will, at range 2, they're actually pretty effective. They average 2 points of damage per. That's not bad for a phaser 3.
Agreed. Now, of course, it depends upon who you're fighting on. Because you always have the issue with when you're fighting against opponents with seeking weapons or fighters. Because
right.
The soldier has fighters. On your way in, you're going to be using your phaser to fight those off. So your
yes.
main source of damage against your opponent's ship is going to be your fireballs.
Well, think about this. Soldier fighters are pretty nasty, right?
Yep, very nasty.
And fireballs in enveloping mode are very nasty against unshielded objects.
Ooh.
Yeah. Effectively, they do double damage against it. Unshield, yeah, because you're basically adding 6 damage points.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
But at the same time, developing it's expensive, and you have to plan for it.
Yeah.
Anyhow, the L'Oreal definitely an interesting ship, much lighter weight, because if you look at it, there is no hull. Well, actually, yes, there is hull.
Right.
But even the hull.
There's hull, but it's not much.
Well, 1, 2, okay, you got 6 over here, you got 6 over here, total 12 box of hull.
That's not much.
That ain't much. You got 4 labs, 3 bridge. Anyway, well, huh?
An aux and emergency.
Okay, there's aux and emergency. From over there, I was concerned there that didn't have those.
Yeah.
That's kind of important because then your controls, you can easily get uncontrolled really quick. But only 1 tractor.
Well, it's 3 bridge that.
Actually, 2 does
tractors.
The tournament has 2 tractors. Okay. I switched back to looking at the main.
Only 2.
I'm looking at the fire cruiser
only
myself.
Two transporters.
Only 2 transporters or 1?
2.
Okay. So the tournament has 2. Okay.
Yeah, tournament has 2. But remember that they were, there's the see, the fire cruiser in the, oh, I see. In the SSD book, it's only got one transporter. But transporters are useless against Soldra.
Right, against Soldra. But again, remember, in tournament play, or even a mega play, you're not fighting only Soldra. You're fighting against the Caligar. That's the main. From looks of the history, that was their main opponent that they fought against was the Caligar.
Was the Soldra.
Well, they also fought against the Soldra. But they were protecting the Singers from the Caligar.
Okay.
So outside of the Soldra, which that was one of those things that I read, which was interesting. Let me see if I can find it. It's up in the history portion. Okay, history, come on. Oh, here it is, history. Which was, I think it was in the 200s that I was thinking of. Which was, again, interesting when they flew off towards the void. Yeah, Soldra invade Singer space, hitting L'Oreal ships where their defenses were sent. The Singer homeworld was so drained of life, Singer's refugees floated into L'Oreal home. Collective throws everything it has against the Soldra Black Sun, and his victorious Soldra invasion ends abruptly. That was, okay, where was it? Dang it. Soldra and Zombies were observed doing battle in the Nucian Cluster, which is outside. That's outside the Milky Way, right? Yeah. Outside our galaxy.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay. Mazeron's proposed operation concentrated strike at the Andromeda base in the Rin Nebula, believing that it's the main source of Andromedan power in the region, but cannot convince the neighbors to send forces. Well, where was it? Dang it. Soldiers just began to arrive in the Omega Octant along the edge of the void. I can't find it at the moment. Because there was that one, which is the L'Oreal ships begin leaving their territory and headed towards the void, passing through Caligar chloroform war zone without any attempt of intervention. It was the one thing that I was, you know, as if it wasn't, that kind of was mentioned in that part of the history of the color of the L'Oreal, which is that the Soldra came from outside of the Octant.
Right.
Which was, to me, was interesting. I did not realize that.
Yeah. I think they came from one of the voids or something like that.
That wouldn't surprise. But, of course, the question in that case, when it comes to the history, getting back the history portion of L'Oreal, and that is, I know that the Alpha Octant, they crossed the void to get to the Omega Octant. Of course, also they went around the void via the LMC, Lesser Melanogenetic Cloud. You know the I forgot what that was.
Yeah.
You know what it is. You know, they traveled up to there to defeat the Andromedans and then came back down into the Omega Octant. And one thing that was mentioned in the history was the GSX. Let me see if I can find it. GSX.
Sakharov or something like that.
Yeah, Sakharov. That's the one. Federation Sakharov is led back.
Scary that I remembered that.
Yeah, it's led back to the Alpha Octant by the Redani. Entering the galaxy near the Tholian space and returning to the UFP after 5 years of exploration using the information gained. During the mission, the Federation began to seek ways to set up a permanent communication with the FRA. Big surprise. And extend its influence.
FRA, yeah.
Yep. Extend its influence into the omega octant.
Right.
And there it is. Right. Okay. Yeah. The Federation, Sakharov fights several small battles defending itself against the Zosman marauders, a Kalagar patrol ship.
Marauders.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. And the Volpa picket forces as explores the rimward of the FRA.
Yeah.
Big surprise. Well, another war horn was discovered near once Rin's base.
Well, the Sakharov was an X-class, an X-cruiser, but it was a galactic survey cruiser.
Yes, GSX. Yes.
Yeah, GSX.
Yeah, galactic survey X-ship. Yeah.
Yes.
Which is interesting by itself. If everyone would get in the history. But yeah, unfortunately, Gary Carney's not here because Lord knows he would go off on the history of the L'Oreal.
You mentioned the FRA. Oh yeah,
FRA. Just any of the history of the Omega Octant, he would be
right.
He'd be there.
Oh yeah,
you know.
But any case, L'Oreal, I played that ship once or twice,
mm-hmm.
and it's definitely a dancer ship.
Mm-hmm. Right, well, come on. All you have to do is look at the number of internals on the ship and say, yeah, it's a dancer ship.
Right.
It's not like the Zinni who can come in and you can blow through its shields, get internals, and it can still fight.
And this ship has got very thick shields, though.
Well, it's kind of like the Andromeda, you know, hard shell on the outside, but soft and chewy on the inside.
Well, there is that. Of course, if you're digging through those shields, it may have, and that's the thing, it may put up its flame shields to say, well, I'm going to get an alpha. And you may want to hold your fire and hope that the alpha doesn't do too much to you, and it's
right.
And you get away.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why a person might wait, but there's a catch 22 situation when it comes to waiting when you have the flame shield. The flame shield is wonderful for L'Oreal in that it can force your opponent to wait if they don't want to have the extra damage that them firing at you will cause. But
correct.
There's a point where they've got to fire at you or they're not going to do anything because of you're going to get,
yeah,
because of the distance at some point, because especially given you have a faster ship overall. The
yes.
When you have everything's charged, that the flame shield's charged, which can be held for zero, the fireball,
yeah,
which is only 1 point per, and then the phasers, which can
right.
be charged, and then it's capacitor, so it costs nothing.
Right.
During that battle pass,
yeah,
the initial battle pass, it can fly extremely fast.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, can your opponent fly just as fast to keep up? So that the L'Oreal is not coming in and then flying away on that turn. Obviously, the one thing you always have to be careful about, which is timing when it comes to the turn itself. You don't want to be, the L'Oreal mm-hmm. does not want to attack late in the turn. Best mm-hmm. is to get it early so you have time to run away during that turn.
Right.
So you know that. See that's why it has to flutter around like a fly, like a fairy.
Yeah. Right. It's got that third flame shield,
mm-hmm.
so it might be able to make a second battle pass under flame shield protection.
Yep. Agreed. I would say that that's one thing that's always difficult in my mind, is that changing the shield you're fighting out of. It's easier to fly around in circles going one way. It's hard to fly around one way and then go and come around the other way. Obviously, you can do it via head, but do you want to actually use a head to change direction like that? Usually, you want to use a head to modify your direction so it surprises your opponent, or to get that, that now that once down shield, get a fresh shield facing your opponent. Or do that het to get to your opponent's down shield, when they have nothing, they can do nothing about it. So.
Now, interestingly enough, that ship on a second firing pass, it might want to go slow in on the last remaining flame shield and overload or envelop all the fireballs and say, hey, you may have turned another shield, but I'm going to do a few points of damage on the down shield.
Each of the fireballs can do 1 point of damage on that down shield or on a weak shield. Now, obviously, I think it becomes more effective later on, not the second battle pass, but possibly the third or fourth.
Well, yeah. Every time you have another down shield to work on, those envelopers are more and more useful.
Agreed. But anyhow. Okay, I think with that, we'll let it go, Barry. It's been nice having you around.
Yeah, same here.
Okay. Is there a particular, okay,
So,
who haven't we covered?
let's see. Next
Okay, next week, will you be
week,
here?
I will be in Seattle.
Okay, I assume you're going to be with your daughter, and therefore you won't be here with us.
That is correct.
Okay, that is fine.
That would be, yeah. It
That's
would not
fine.
be right for me to, yeah.
That is fine. All that means is that what I want to do is next week is go over catalog number 53, possibly also since we have video for people. I actually can go through Starfleet Warlord and show some of the things that are done in Starfleet Warlord. It's a play by email game, which is quite a bit different from Starfleet Battles. It's more though, obviously. I'm not sure, Barry, you've ever played Star. No, I don't think you've ever done that. Playing Starfleet
I've
Battles
never
via.
played Warlord.
No, I'm thinking about Starfleet Battles via email.
Never played it by email.
Yep, I didn't think you have.
Yeah.
Before the advent of the client and when the internet was still young, I used to do both. I used to play and also moderate games via email, which now is a
Right.
the only time I've ever seen games in via email these days are the larger fleet battles because of that's when things get
What
really
do they have back
interesting.
then? CompuServe?
Yep, at a CompuServe account, and actually we would have we post. There was actually a forum for it. Yeah, Russ, Twitch is the quote unquote official video platform from now on versus YouTube. YouTube, I still post the video afterwards, but not it's not streamed live anymore. Because of they dropped Hangouts. So I can't, so I could no longer share my desktop. So, which is most of what I want to do.
So at Gamers of Summer, I learned a few new games that were kind of interesting. So there was Azul, Azul. That was actually pretty interesting. It was a tile-based game. And now another one I learned was Concordia, which I thought was a pretty good. I don't know if I don't think you played that, or did you?
No.
No, it was on Monday. You were not there.
Oh, I definitely was not there on Monday. And you know, on Saturday, my main focus was on Merchants of the Federation and try and play
Right.
test that and recover from play testing that. And then
Yeah.
Sunday, I spent most of the day chatting with Doug, but also I got to play,
Doug.
The game with you through the ages.
Through the ages. Yes. And by the way, since then, the expansion has come out, at least on a digital version, for Through the Ages. Then there was, I played Azul, which I liked. Concordia, I really liked. But when I went to buy a copy of Concordia, it's hard to find. It's out of stock. So I think it was recently reissued or something like that, and they're just having a hard time manufacturing enough to keep up with demand.
Understood. Well, that's happens when you have a popular game.
And there was another game I saw, and it was at the. I didn't play it, but I walked over after they were done playing, but before they had packed it up, and it was called Brass Birmingham. And there was an old game called Brass, which has been reissued with better graphics, called Brass Lancashire. And that one is supposedly good, but Brass Birmingham is really, really nice. Oh my God, the graphics are amazing. I don't know if you watch any YouTube videos by Tom Vassell, Dice Tower.
Yes.
Yes. He had some interesting things to say about Brass Birmingham. He said it's one of the top-rated games of all time. A lot of people like it. And I've watched a few videos on how to play it since then, and it's like, wow. But he said that Tom Vassell said that he didn't like it because he said it was too much work.
Right, and I think we've agreed that basically he likes simpler games.
Yes. Oh, did I discuss this one with you?
Yes, we actually went through all your games that you went through in Gamers of Summer. Sorry, was it last week or the week before? I think it was last week.
Yeah. So I'm reiterating this stuff. But I went to the local friendly game shop and asked them for Brass Birmingham, and they're like,
Can we put that in order for
our
you?
distributors don't have it.
Oh, okay.
Well, we'll try to get you one, but it may be a while.
Right. Well, hey, if you can wait and get through your local game store, do it, man. It's always good to support
Yeah.
your local game store in
Well,
any way you
there's
can.
no. It's a comic book store up the street from my apartment. I will certainly have it in time for Gamers of Winter. As for Concordia, they don't have it either. But I did check online, and now there's an interesting place just up the street from my daughter's apartment in Bellingham called Rook and Rogue. And it's a place where they have game tables set up, and it's basically a pub with better food and lots of games
Yes, it
and
does.
game tables. And it's basically, what's that?
Yeah. Understood.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember you
And
describing how it
it's
basically just You can sit up there and drink and eat and play games with your heart's content.
Yes, and one of their drinks they have up there is called Mudder's Milk, which is coffee and Baileys.
Oi.
Yum. What? You've never had that?
Nope.
Actually, I think we had that discussion, didn't we?
Yep.
You need to try that one. Baileys with coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Baileys Irish Cream and coffee. It's a good drink.
Mm-hmm. Well, alcohol. I really don't drink that much alcohol these days. I have no reason.
I don't either.
And Lord knows. Come on, if you go to a bar, freaking heck, man, it's expensive as hell.
Well, in a place like that, you're paying for the game table.
Oh yeah. Agreed. You're paying basically.
And the fact that they keep and they basically have hundreds and hundreds of games on their bookshelves, and you basically and the wait staff is really good about, we'll recommend that game or we'll recommend that game, and you bring it out to the table, you play it, and then they serve you drinks and bring you hamburgers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That you want, if you want to be there 6-8 hours, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't drink much either. I think the last alcoholic beverage I had, the last one I had was when I was in the Dominican Republic back in early February.
Wow.
It's been that long.
Understood. Okay, well, I'll let you go. It's starting to get late, actually, and I need to put everything together and go to bed.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you have a good night.
Oh, yeah. You too.
Okay,
bye.
See you in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, okay. Bye.
So I had a nice little chat with Barry next week for Gamers of Summer and some of the games that we played, which is, I could keep playing them. We played that one together, which is interesting. And I mentioned the whole thing with Eve last week, and I actually haven't gotten back to Eve Online. I need to do that, just at the very least, just to gather up a little bit of things and have some time just kind of playing and enjoying. And actually, I like to get back to Merchant of the Federation and re-go through that game again now that I know more about the rules, and possibly even ping up Jay again on the issues that I've found. Because it looks like Nick Blank, who I used to judge with, that, he seems like he's been in the Merchants of the Federation and he's played it a few times. At least that's what it seems like to me. So I think with that, we'll wrap it all up. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.